So, what we talked about yesterday, jiva, isn't it? Jiva, what is jiva? That question is always there. Understanding jiva means, Krishna is saying, Bhumira vanalo vayu ghammano buddhirevaja ahangara idiyame bhina prakriti ashtatha apareya mitastvanyam prakritim vidhyame param jiva bhudam mahabaho yeyedam dharyade jagat. Krishna is saying, first we talked about apara prakriti. Apara prakriti means five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. So these eight things, ashtadhara murti is referred to, that these eight things constitutes what is known as apara prakriti. So when Krishna says the word apara prakriti, that means there must be a para prakriti. Which is not para prakriti, is apara prakriti. Apara prakriti is these five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. These eight things is what is called maya. Eight things together is called maya. So within this framework of maya, all these things are happening. What's happening to us? We are inside this all the time. In a very subtle level, we are kept under control within these eight things. So mind, intelligence and false ego, earth, water, air, ether and fire, outside this nothing exists. All our karma, all our sadhana, all our meditation, all our activities, everything is happening within these eight things. Within these eight things. So that is why he talked about that, Bhumi rapanalo vayu khammano buddhi revaja ahankara idiyame bhinna prakriti ashtada. Krishna says, superior to that, there is this what is called para prakriti. That is what he says there. Apareyam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhudam. Jiva is that para prakriti. Para prakriti is jiva. That jiva, jiva bhudam mahabaho yedam dharide jagat. Jiva bhudam mahabaho, it says that you have to take attention of that word very carefully. Jiva bhudam mahabaho. Jiva bhudam means it has become jiva. The same alma, soul, it has become jiva. Jiva bhudam, it has turned into become jiva. Yayedam dharide jagat. How do you know it? Because this jiva bhudam word causes confusion sometimes. Some people say that jiva bhudam means it's a separate jiva which is come separately into existence on its own, but that the there is a point made there that the jiva bhudam mahabahu can only justify the yayedam dharide jagat, because if it was jiva alone who has to support this, sustains this universe, that cannot do it. Jiva cannot do it. It has to be the potency of the Paramatma. Paramatma's potency should be there. Therefore, it concluded that Jivatma has come from Paramatma. Anyway, these are philosophical points which we have to worry about at that stage when we get there. Don't have to think about it today and worry whether it's Jivatma or Paramatma. What is important here is Krishna is saying the very nature of Jivatma is that Jivatma is caught in that situation. What we were talking about yesterday, that Jiva does not, Jiva has a lot to answer in this world. Jiva has to go through a lot of different situations. As I talked about yesterday, it is what is known as avastatrayam, isn't it? In the three states it exists. Jiva goes through three states. What are they? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. And when it goes through these three states, in these three states, it is called Vishwan Taijasam Prajnam. It's all there in the Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam says this. Later you will see in the 12th canto, Krishna says there, that if you look in the 11th chapter, in the 12th canto, Krishna says this. Sudha Goswami, while talking about upasana processes, that is where it comes, that he says that Krishna present in the sun planet is called Surya Narayana. His movement is discussed in that chapter. And there, Shaunagarishi asked some questions to Sudha Goswami. This is at the very end of the 12th canto. 12th canto has got 13 chapters. It's on the 11th chapter. That's why he's answering there. And he mentions there that the Vasudeva Sangarshana Pradyumna Aniruddha, which is not four expansions of quadruple expansion, as it is called, from Krishna. Krishna's quadruple expansion. Vasudeva Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And in that very chapter, he mentions about that these
Vishvastejasa Prajna, Turiya Iti Vrithibhi, Arthendriyashaya Jnanir Bhagavan Paribhavyadem, Vasudeva Sankarsana, Pradyumna Purusha Swayam, Aniruddha Iti Brahman Murtivyoho Vidiyade. Chaturviho Vasana it is called. It is a form of worship, Chaturviham. Chaturviham means these four expansions of Krishna. Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. So, Sudha Goswami says only this much, that he says that Krishna is also worshipped as Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And he is worshipped in that four different aspects, which we'll talk later. So, Vishvastejasa Prajna Turiya Idivrithibhi Arthendriyashaya Jnanir Bhagavan Paribhavyadem. So, it is the same Vasudeva Sankarsana Pradyumna Aniruddha as he is addressed in the Chaturviho Upasana. It is the same person, he is worshipped in the human form, in the body, as Vishwan, Tejan, Prajnasan, Turiyam. In these four different titles. Vishwan, Tejan, Prajnasan, Turiyam. So, Vishwan is referred to the vacant state, Tejasan for the dream state, and Prajna for the deep sleep, Sushupti state. So, and it is based on the Upadhi, based on the Upadhi. Vasana Vishishta Jnanam, Sashi Jnanam, all these things are taken into account. For example, in the Vishwa state, the same soul is more busy with the external objects in this world and also senses. That's what it is, isn't it? Five senses of knowledge, five senses of action are in activation. So therefore, all the activities, what's happening there in the Vishwa stage for the soul is also connection with the world outside. Then, what is Tejasa? Tejasa means in the dream state. What happens in the dream state? Vasana Vishishta Jnanam. Ignorance born from the vasana. That is what your world in the dream state is. Our world in the dream state is the ajnanam in us in the form of vasana that manifesting through the mind. That's what the world we are living in. In the vacant state, we live in the world of senses, sense objects and the world outside. That's our world. Jagrat says, vacant state is that, isn't it? Outside world, busy with that world. That's our vacant state is. Dream state is vasana world. The world of vasana, what we have created, subtle body in that world. Body of the subtle world, subtle body world, we can say. Subtle body's world. That's where we live in the vasana state. In the deep sleep, what is the state? Witness. Witness of all the things what's happening there. Witness, that's the position there. So, based on the Upadhi, these titles are given that the Vishwan, Tejasan, Prajnam, Turiyam. Turiyam is the beyond three states. When the three states have gone, then you are outside the Avastatrayam. This is called Avastatrayam. These words are very apt for the based on the function. So we'll keep it as it is. Avastatrayam means this Avastha. These are called Avastha. Avastha of a soul. Soul's Avastha. Jiva's Avastatrayam it is called. So, Avastha, the difference in the Avastha and difference of the Upadhi alone, these differences happens to the Jiva. Jiva is not changing. What's changing is the Avastha is changing. Its Avastha means its state. State. State is the Avastha. Its state is changing and its Upadhi is changing. Therefore, the changes in the Jiva's life. That's understandable, isn't it? Avastha is that based on this Jagrasvapnam Sushupti, three states are, Krishna said that before, isn't it? That, that the three modes of material nature will create three states, Jagrasvapnam Sushupti. So, Avastha is changing and at the same time, Upadhi is also changing. Upadhi changing means, Upadhi means, in the vacant state, body is the Upadhi, gross body. In the dream state, the mind is the Upadhi. In the deep sleep, mind and body has gone, only covered by the ignorance, it stays there.
That's why tamogunam is present in the deep sleep state. Tamogunam is present in the deep sleep state. So, all these avastha, you know, in the Bhagavatam, Krishna said, they are coming from buddhi, intelligence, isn't it? From intelligence. Krishna says, what Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, you will see there, that sattvam rajas tamo guner buddher na almana, he says. It comes in the buddhi, not in the soul. He made that clear. If you remember, I think it is in the 13th chapter begins that, with that. Sattvam rajas tamo guner, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see that the Krishna presents there, the beginning of that verse, the first verse itself is that. Yeah, the first verse of the 13th chapter, Krishna says, Sattvam rajastamaiti guna buddherna jalpana sattven anyadamo hanyal sattvam sattvena chaivahi. He says here, Sattvam rajastamaiti guna buddhe na chalpana. He wanted to make it very clear to us that sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, they are in the buddhi. Buddhi dharmam it is. It's not the dharmam of the soul. Dharmam of the soul. So that is the same thing. What we have to take note of, he says here, that although they belong to buddhi, buddhi dharmam it is, buddhi's activity it is, when we come to that particular stage, say for example, in the according to the, in the buddhi, if you have sattvagunam, you are in the vacant state. If you have rajogunam, in the buddhi, you have the dream state. And if you have tamogunam, you are in the deep sleep. That is how. But when you come to that state, so what happens in that state, in that particular vacant state, although it is the mode of goodness comes from the sattvagunam, at the same time, there is a possibility that the jiva has a tendency to identify with one thing, that he is the doer. He is the doer in that. And all the activities what he is performing at that time, he thinks it is his, he is doing it. He is doing it. And therefore, his identification begins there. That is why, if you look, Vedavyasa Maharshi says this in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimudhatma kartahamiti manyate. You remember that verse? It's an important verse in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What does that mean? It means that material nature is doing everything through us. But in spite of knowing this from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, we won't accept it. I am doing it still. This is that pollution of the jiva. So when we are a jiva, ahangara vimodhalpa, ahangaram comes in. So although sattvagunam is there in the buddhi, in the vacant state there is sattvagunam. Sattvagunam presence is in the vacant state. In the dream state and deep sleep, there is no sattvagunam. Sattvagunam is only in the vacant state, isn't it? So when the sattvagunam is there in the buddhi, in intelligence, in other words, and ubhadi is there, the body is there, but what happens to the jiva at that time is, jiva identifies with the body, even though sattvagunam is there, identifies with the body, and the activities of the body, he identifies with them, and he also thinks he is the doer in that state. You see? One thing I must make it very clear. No gunam exists pure in anybody. We have all a mixture of gunams all the time. See, sattvam rajasa tamasa, three gunam. These three gunams is present in one person. One will predominate over the other two. For example, sometimes sattvagunam will predominate. This is why we must study that chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam. There is a chapter called Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam. I think it's the 15th chapter, 14th or 15th chapter. If you study that, it will explain how modes of nature works in a person. Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam. Same thing comes in Bhagavatam also later. Krishna will talk to Uddhava about that. So, according to the modes of nature, nobody has any time one particular mode. Always it is mixed. Say for example, when sattvam is there, sattvam predominates, there will be some rajasa and tamas also. When rajogunam is predominating, there will be some sattvam and some tamas. When tamogunam is predominating also, there will be some sattvam, some rajasa. It is very difficult to be purely in the state of Satvagunam. That is very difficult thing. Krishna is talking about the general state of everybody. So, because it is like that, even though Satvagunam is there in the vacant state, because only in the vacant state that Satvagunam appears strong, better than in the Rajagunam and Tamogunam, and the dream state or vacant state, deep sleep. He says here, as soon as the buddhi is in identification with the body due to other gunam present in us, and what will happen is, he will start thinking that all activities I am doing. I am chanting 16 rounds, I am chanting 64 rounds. Everything I am doing. This I am is very difficult to get rid of from inside, that I am doing business. That is why Krishna is there. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, exactly the same verse is spoken. What is that verse? Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahangara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyade. How to get rid of that from inside? That is the most difficult thing. Because kartaham iti manyade, I am doing everything. It is so deep inside that it breaks all the barriers and gone inside so deeply. I am the one who is doing everything. Prakriti kriyamanani. It remains as a statement, very difficult to realize, isn't it? It's only two lines if you think about it. Prakriti kriyamani. Prakriti is doing everything. Material nature is doing everything. Gunai karmani sarvasha. All karmam is done by the gunam. Three modes of material nature is prakriti, isn't it? Three modes of material nature is prakriti. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. But what happens? Ahangara vimodhalma. Ahangaram is there inside. What is that ahangaram? Ahangaram is this, that I am the doer. I am the doer. So ahangaram is that influence on the jiva. That is why jiva ahanda it is called. Jiva's ahanda. Super soul has no ahanda. Jiva has the ahanda. So that jiva state, although in quality and everything is the same, jivalma and paramalma, this ahanda is one fact which is influencing the jiva very strongly. And therefore, even while in this world, ahangara vimodhalma kartaham iti manyade, it's all in a very subtle level Krishna has spoken. And the same thing will appear, you can look into the third canto of Bhagavatam, Kavila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, exactly the same thing. Ahangara vimodhalma kartaham iti manyade. He says, therefore, because he identifies at that time with the work what is done, and the results of the work, and I am the doer, is all very strong there. So because of that, he becomes happy, distressed, and whatever experiences he is going through is all because of this avastha state. Difference in the avastha. Avastha means these three states and difference of the upadhi, what he has got it. Avastha means jagrat sapnam sushupti. That is the avastha trayam it's called. Jiva's avastha trayam. And depending on the gross body, mind or the intelligence, whatever he is associating with, the ego, jiva ahanda, identifies with that and suffers in this world. Ahangara vimudhalpma is called vimudhalpma. Krishna addresses like that. So if you look into the world, what is world means? World means our karmam and the results. Karmam, result. Karmam, result. This is what it is, isn't it? So without karmam and without result and a person to enjoy the result, this cannot carry on. This world cannot carry on. There should be karmam in this world. Somebody who is doing the karmam, the results must come from the karmam, and there must also be someone who is experiencing that results of the karmam. So, so the person who is carrying out activities, karmam in this world, karta, and the one who is enjoying, the bhokta, karta and bhokta, is jiva. Jiva is doing that. And jiva is one, but at the same time, because it enjoys this creation in three different levels. That means in Jagrat, in Sopnam and Sushupti. In three different ways it enjoys it. It is experiencing it. Therefore, these three different names are given to jiva. Vishwam, Tejasan and Prajnam. Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti, the three states he goes through. And at the same time, he experiences that ignorance of material existence in three states. He is ignorant in all the three states and is experiencing that ignorance in all the three states under these three names.
Why three names? We'll see why it is like that. Three names, Vishwam, Tejasan and Prajnam. That's what it is spoken here. So, suppose whatever knowledge you have or realize experiences you have in the vacant state, as soon as you go into dream state, it's all gone. It remains only in the vacant state. This is interesting. You may know a lot of things in this world, all your knowledge what we have acquired in the college, university and books and everything, heard, whatever it is. All the knowledge, once you go into dream state, it's gone. It's not there, isn't it? Because the experiences and your knowledge or samskaram, what they call that, the samskaram in the dream state is completely different. Is completely different. All your experience in the vacant state has no place there. For example, in this world, while living in the vacant state, we may have some experiences. But you can't bring that experience to control your dream state. You can't do it. It happened here and it's left there, gone there. You come to dream state, you're totally another person in the dream body, isn't it? So when you come to the dream state, that means the sopnam state, all your experiences of this world in the jagrat state goes out. It has no influence there anymore. Although people may say that it is your purva, your experiences in this world that you are experiencing the dream. Some of the things what has happened in the past you may experience in the dream. People may say. But it's not happening voluntarily, that you have to know. You are not bringing that. What happened is, many activities you have carried out in the past, in your vacant state, some of them have stayed as vasanas inside, some of them did not stay, did not create any chittavritti inside. They have gone. Those who have stayed as vasana in the subtle body, only they will manifest. Others won't manifest. Others in the dream state. This is the example, this is the rule behind that. That what you can experience in the dream is not what you want from the vacant state, but what has gone into the dream body. That's what will come out in the dream state. And there you have no control over it. Sometimes it may happen exactly the same way it has happened in the vacant state, or sometimes it could be all in a messed up way. Because you have no control. It's just like, dream state is like that, isn't it? You have no control over it. It will, whatever that is shown to you, you can see that. That's all. That's how much freedom we have in the dream state. So, on the other hand, when you go to deep sleep state, in the sushupti state, what will happen? Both the experience of the vacant state and the dream state has gone from you completely. Completely left you. And there it is a completely third experience, a third different experience. So one thing is here, the one who is enjoying all these things, jiva, for him there is no change. What is actually changing is that what he is experiencing is that's what is changing. And according to that association with the particular state, whatever that is influencing his samskaram will change. His samskaram will change accordingly. Samskaram will change accordingly. So, when you come to jagrat state, you can remember about your experience in the dream state and the deep sleep, isn't it? You can remember. Some of the things what happened in the dream you will remember. And the deep sleep, only thing you remember is that you had a good time, that you slept well and felt refreshed altogether. But if you have not experienced anything in the dream or in the deep sleep, you won't be able to remember anything in the vacant state. So that is the proof to say that it is the same jiva who is going through all the three states. Because this memory is coming back from the dream state and the deep sleep to the vacant state. So, so because of this, that basically what jiva is doing is, in these three avasthas, that means this jagrat state, dream state and the deep sleep, he is only enjoying this creation, this world. That is what is called a samsaram, material existence. And that that state of the jiva in its form, in that particular state, is called Vishwan, Taijasan, Prajnan. The three different titles given to jiva because of this. Jiva is the one jiva, but the same jiva goes through three states, experiences three different worlds, and goes changes, keeps moving from one to another. That's our life.
Vishwam, Tejasam, Prajnan, that the three states. Yesterday also mentioned that what is the difference between Vishwan and Tejasan. In Vishwan, what is happening is we consider ourselves as a small part of the whole world. Is it not? We consider ourselves as a small part of the huge world. Whereas, if you go to dream state, what happens? You are everything and the world is a small part of you. There's a change happening there, shift. Is it not? In the Vishwa state, that you are a part of the big, huge world, gross world, you are a small part. But when you go into the dream state, what happens? In the dream world, you are creating the world. Here, you are a part of the world, there you are creating the world. Isn't it? In the dream state, what happens? You are the soul inside, jiva, expands into all different forms. All different forms it takes. It turns, say for example, if I dream this classroom in the night, I have to expand in all your forms, in different bodies. I have to expand. I have to expand as the mic, as the chair, the table, the books, the lights, and the whole room. I have to expand. The soul, jiva, has to expand like this. That means the whole thing is in me then. Whole thing is in me. Everything is remaining in me. Exists in me. That is the nature of the dream body. Whereas in the Jagrat vacant state, what's happening? I exist as a part of this whole creation. As a part of the whole creation. So, opposing nature like this, contradicting nature, in other words. In gross, in the vacant state, one position for the jiva. In the dream state, another position for the jiva. These opposing contradictions, jiva has to accept. Jiva has to live with it. That's how jiva is. This is a problem for the jiva. Jiva experiences one thing in the vacant state, in the dream state, completely opposite thing it is experiencing. Mutually contradicting this, isn't it? Contradicting this. And in Tejasa state, when you go into the third one, Sushupti states, the whole thing doesn't exist anymore. Nothing exists for him. There is neither this world, nor this body, nor the mind. Nothing exists. He is completely independent of all the other two. Independent of the other two. So both vacant state and the dream state goes away in the deep sleep. So, so the power of prajna, prajna shakti, it is called, in that deep sleep state, is called prajna shakti. There what's happening is, it's covered by a veil of ignorance, because tamogunam is predominating there. Like sattugunam in the vacant state, tamogunam is present there. So tamogunam is controlling everything, but because of that, it is not able to, we are not able to directly report about that. It comes, later on when we wake up, it comes through our experiences as the experience of the deep sleep. So, this is called avasthatrayam. And another interesting thing is, when one person is in vacant state, another person could be in dream state, and a third person could be in deep sleep also. So, some people, they don't have any sushupti state, particularly in the old age. We don't get sushupti very much. Sushupti. So, and for some people, they don't have dream state. Some people say, I don't get much dreams. They say like that. Very rare. That all you can experience here, but all those things is individual jiva's experiences in this situation. So, when he is freed from this avasthatrayam, avasthatrayam means jagrat, svapnam, sushupti, when he is freed from this, then he will escape from the samsaram, material existence, or material existence means in the jiva is always trying to enjoy. That is the nature of the jiva. Wants to experience things, isn't it? That experience of this material world is called samsaram. Samsaram. So, the same jiva is spoken as Vishwan, Tejasam and Prajnam. So, only because of the difference in the states and difference of upadhi. Upadhi means mind, body and intelligence. These are all upadhis. Based on that, the three categories were spoken. And similarly, it is also mentioned that these three, in these three states, jiva is present in three different places in the body. Three different places in the body. What it means is that that when Vishwam, when he is called Vishwa,
is present in the right eye. In the right eye. All these things has to be accepted because it is the Jnanamargam is saying these things. They know, they have authorities and they have gone to that level to experience that. That's why they are saying this. He is present in the right eye, and when it comes to dream state, he moves into the mind, and in the deep sleep he moves into the heart. Deep sleep, he moves into the heart. So from the mind he moves to the heart. That's something very difficult, isn't it, to understand. What is the difference in the mind and the heart? Then the question will come. So this is important thing, that the, like he had avastatrayam. Avastatrayam means this jagrat, svapnam, sushupti. He has also what is known as sthanatrayam. Sthanatrayam means the three locations which he occupies. While he is vishwa, he occupies the right eye. While he is tajasan, he goes into the mind. And while he is prajnan, he goes into the heart. He goes into the heart. Heart is a place where super soul lives. That is the right side. It's not the mechanical heart which the doctors are talking about, or the medicine stuff. That's on this side, isn't it? It's here, isn't it? The left side. So on the right side is where super soul lives. That is his all subtle things, but we have to accept it as it is. That is where when he is prajna stage, he is there. Because that's when he becomes the gets the association with the super soul. So all these things are happening in us every day, and we never think about it, inquire about it. That's why the greatest wonder in this world is this body itself, not Taj Mahal or so many seven wonders they keep saying to us. But is this not more wonderful than any of those things in this world, this human body? That there is Vishwan, there is Tejasan, there is Prajnan, and he is going from place to place in the whole different three states. And there is so many functions happening and we are not even conscious of anything that. And we get carried away by all these little wonders of this world. Whatever it is, Taj Mahal or Elsie, what is that in Paris? The
Eiffel Tower.
Eiffel Towers and all that. We think this is wonder. There is nothing compared to this wonder, what we are created like. Isn't it? This mechanism, what Krishna has created inside us. How it functions. So you will notice here that in the Vishwa stage, that means when you are in the gross body, only with gross objects you will be satisfied. Suppose you are feeling hungry in the vacant state, you need food, isn't it? Whereas in the dream state, if you feel hungry, dream food will be sufficient. That's the difference. Yeah? If you are in the dream state and you are feeling hungry, the dream food somebody serves you there, you'll be satisfied. Whereas in the vacant state, because it's the most gross existence, this gross body, vacant state, there you require gross objects to fulfill all your needs, to fulfill all the needs also. So, there in the dream state, if somehow you have felt hungry, for example, if you imagine you felt hungry in the dream state, and if you imagine in the same dream somebody comes and serves you a full plate of prasadam, you won't ask anything more. You'll be satisfied with that dream hunger. With a dream hunger. Similarly, that the jiva who got satisfied in the vacant state with the food and the drink, everything, and when he comes back from the dream state, he wants all that back again. He wants the food, everything in the gross way. Only then he can get satisfied. Only if it is given in the gross form, he is satisfied in the vacant state. So, the happiness and or satisfaction and dissatisfaction of the vacant state will not go into the dream state. Similarly, the satisfaction or dissatisfaction of the dream state will not come to the vacant state. Why I am saying this is, all states are independent. All the states are independent. Suppose you felt satisfaction or dissatisfaction in eating and drinking in the vacant state, those things will not go into the dream state. There you will feel, you may have eaten well and gone to sleep, and you could feel hungry in the dream state. You could feel hungry in the dream state. So all the food what we eat is sufficient only to meet our gross existence in the vacant state. It's not useful for us in the dream state. Dream state, that hunger you are experiencing is not from the way we are experiencing hunger in the waking state. It's a different hunger altogether, that experience of the hunger. So, it does not go each other, and if you keep analyzing this, you can see, you may even wonder, is it the same person who is experiencing happiness and distress in the waking state and the dream state? Is it the same person? But we have to understand this, that it is only due to the change of position and due to the bhavam inside, and this contradicting nature is there in the jiva to experience things like this, contradicting things. That in waking state it can experience something opposite it can experience in the dream state. Just like I mentioned before, that the it feels it's a part of the world in the waking state, but in the dream state the whole world is a part of him. Similarly, eating and drinking and satisfaction also, whatever you experience in the waking state need not satisfy you in the dream state. In dream state you will have your own another world you are in, and completely opposite experience you can have in the dream state, although you had plenty to eat and plenty to drink in the waking state. This is how the dream is. Dreams are happening. So, so this contradicting nature in the dream state and the waking state is important. Why? Because when you go into third one, the deep sleep state, prajna stage, when he becomes prajna, it's much more interesting. Why? Because he does not neither want the gross one nor want the subtle one. The gross one is in the waking state. The subtle one is in the dream state. When you go into the deep sleep state, he does not want anything from the gross world or from the subtle world. Or from the subtle world. That's why it makes it interesting. So all there, what he is asking for is bliss. In the prajna stage, what he is asking for? Bliss. And he is satisfied with that. He does not want any name or form. Whereas in waking state and dream state, he wants name and form, isn't it? Suppose you are want to, it's just like in the waking state, it's very easy to explain that. Everything has to be very gross, isn't it? Only then we are satisfied. If it's a car, you need a car, latest model, BMW or whatever, the best one. We need that to satisfy us. We get satisfied with that. And similarly, everything, food also. You want all the preparations nicely put on a plate and you can have that gross food, enjoying that gross things. That is the nature of the waking state. Same thing, all the happiness and all, completely independently, you can enjoy in the dream state. In the dream state, you can enjoy without all that presence. So, sthulam, everything is gross in the waking state. Everything is gross. The body is gross, the life is gross, the objects are gross. Simply what it is it's nothing but a gross existence. It's this gross body. But when you go to the dream state, you can go out to the gross level, come to the subtle level, and subtle level you are satisfied, whatever is given. Subtle prasadam, subtle place to sleep, and everything in a subtle level, you can satisfied with that, isn't it, in the dream. But interesting than that is, when you go to the deep sleep state, you neither want the gross one nor want the subtle one either. Both of them you are throwing it away. All you are looking for is bliss. All you're looking for is bliss, freedom from all of these things. In order to prove it to us that, that he enjoys everything in the subtle level, in that deep sleep, without the help of any of the gross things or the subtle things, or the subtle things. So you can see, in the waking state, for a little happiness in this world, we inquire after a lot of gross things in this world. Isn't it? Sthulam, sthula padartham. And we put a lot of energy and effort in our life to acquire them, is it not? That's what the life is busy with, in our waking state, to become happy only in the waking state. We work very hard to acquire some objects in this world so that we can be happy in the waking state, and we put a lot of effort and struggle very hard. And all those what you have acquired in the waking state, all that you can acquire that in the dream state for Taijasa without any effort. Without any effort. For example, you can become, say for example, American president in your dream state. Nobody is going to can stop you from that, isn't it? If you want to become that. If you become that, who's going to stop you? Nobody can stop you. Nobody can tell you even. Nobody will know about it. That's all it is. That you are the American president at that time. So important point is that Taijasa state, when you become Taijasan, then all that what you have, just by that dream alone, you are able to achieve that. Through the dream, you are able to achieve the same happiness from that in the dream state. So now, whatever you have acquired in the Vishwa, as in the Taijasa state, through your work and through all your imaginations, dream means imaginations and all that thing is is not of any interest to you when you come to the deep sleep state. There it is something different, totally different from the gross and the subtle world. And the happiness that you experience is far, far superior to the happiness in the gross world or in the subtle world, or in the vacant body, or in the vacant state, or in the dream state. So only difference, what is there? What has happened there to the jiva then? Jiva went back to Paramatma. That's the only thing what he has done. So this is to prove it to us. Self-realization is so important that if we realize the self, all over this hard work and effort to become happy, we can give it up once for all. Karma finishes there when that happens. In the prajna states, there is no karma. There is no expectation of any results from that. And all that explains Sosvarupa Anubhuti, they call it. Sosvarupa means we go back to our Swarupam, our pure identity, what we are. That is Atma, the soul. Spiritual nature comes to us at that stage, in the prajna stage. And the result was that. So what is important is Upadhi Vityasam. So according to the Upadhi, that when you leave your Upadhi, accordingly we change our position. And it is based on the Upadhi only, we become demigod, an animal, a worm, a man, a woman, a boy, girl, old man, and scholar, and illiterate, brahmana, chandala, or all kinds of variations is based on the Upadhi only. It's the same jiva. Jiva is the same. But we call somebody with all kinds of designations based on that. So in whichever Upadhi his ego is operating, and accordingly his karma will follow him. So suppose in any of these things, whether he's a demigod, whether he's a man, woman, whatever it is, whichever body he is, that is Upadhi for him. So this ego inside, in which is jiva, Upadhi, all these things, and the jiva inside, wherever he is feeling identity, abhimanam means identity with that, false identity, false ego, because of that, that is happening, and accordingly his activities will be centered around that. And all the time he is changing his Upadhi also, accordingly his identity will also change when he changes this Upadhi. For example, a person, Prabhupada gives this example also, that somebody is a father at home, and he is also a husband at home. And when he, suppose he is as a judge working in a high court, when he goes there, he's a high court judge. He's not father or husband, he's a high court judge. So what has changed there? What has changed is designations have changed, isn't it? So he says here, what is a change of designation means? Your false ego has accepted that. That's what I am now. Or you are an engineer, or a doctor, or a banker, or something, whatever it is, you are constantly changing your false ego positions. Jiva is changing its false ego. So at home he thinks I am the father. That is his false ego. Or the husband. And the same person, when he comes to the office or to the court, he is thinking I am a judge here. I am a high court judge. So basically what's happening is, jiva is changing its ahankaram. It's Upadhi, ahankara, false ego, it's changing. That's what it is. So when that is happening, that according to that change of false ego, his karma will change. Isn't it? And accordingly, he has to take the results also. Suppose at home, as a father, he is functioning on that false ego of the father. Then naturally, all his activities will be based on that understanding, I am the father, or I am the husband at home, or I am the mother, or I am the wife. In that way, he or she will live in this world, isn't it? That's how we will we carry on our life. And as soon as we go to office, we are not father, mother there. We are, what are we there? We are the employee or position, whatever we have, chief executive or chairman or managing director or whatever it is. There, that's what we are. That time you'll always be conscious of that. I am the CEO, I am the boss, in whatever way. That identity comes, unknowingly comes to us. We don't think about it, oh, can I become the chief executive now from 10 o'clock onwards? No. As soon as you leave home, you are that. Then you think in that way. So this change of hangaram, change of, this is in, intrinsically with the jiva, jiva's nature. So, but none of them, this avastatrayam or sthanatrayam or bhojyam or upadhi bind jiva. None of them binds jiva. Jiva goes through all these things. That's all it is. So, and also it's mentioned there that this Vishwa Taijasa Prajna, these things, jiva is actually is Ishvara's amsham. It's a part and parcel of Ishvara. So jiva is not different from Ishvara, but Ishvara amsham he is. Example given in the Bhagavadam is that the moon is reflecting in the water. So when the soul reflects in the Chaitanyam, Chaitanyam is the soul. When the soul is reflecting in the false ego, that is jiva. Jiva's origin is like that. When the soul is reflecting in the false ego, it becomes jiva. It is a reflection of the soul. Like they say that, I think that example is in the demigod's prayers to Krishna. When Krishna appeared, he talks about that. I haven't got that here. In the Bhagavadam you will see that demigods are saying to Krishna that you are reflecting, you are that reflected part, we are all that reflections of you in the Ahankaram, in our particular designations. So somebody is thinking as demigod because he has strong identity and Ahankaram in that state. We are thinking human beings, why? Because we have that strong identity with the human body and the human mind, and is a our ego is a reflection of Krishna in this Ahankaram, in our false ego. It's a reflection of Krishna in our false ego, that's jiva. Similarly in the animals, similarly in the plants, everywhere Krishna's reflection in everyone, that is jiva. That is jiva. Then we also mentioned that jiva and Ishvara exist inside us same time. Same time. If you remember this, I don't know you remember, we talked about two birds sitting on a tree long ago. Upanishad's story, that is. It's taken from the Upanishads. So imagine this. In the middle of the night, somebody is experiencing a dream in the night, middle of the night. And he was walking through a forest. Suddenly, a tiger jumped on him and caught him. He's dreaming this. Yeah, he's dreaming this. The tiger jumped upon him and caught him, and he was, the tiger is eating him. Tiger is eating, he's dreaming this. So there you can see the tiger has squeezed his throat and it is sucking all the blood out, and he is struggling inside the tiger's throat, the tiger's jaws, he's struggling there. So at the same time, you will see someone standing next to him and watching this, isn't it? That's how you are able to say this when you wake up from the dream. You are experiencing the dream, but same time somebody in the dream is watching all these things, and he is seeing this, and all that experience of fear and the pain and frustration, everything is experienced by jiva. Is experienced by jiva. But that person who is standing next to him, he has no emotions. He's just seeing everything, standing there, not doing anything about it. He's just standing there and watching that, what the jiva is going through. So, so here, that person, that soul which has experienced that pain, fear and struggle in the mouth of the tiger is jiva, is the jiva. And one who was standing there and witnessing everything is Ishvara, is Ishvara. So this jiva-ishvara relationship is a very complex thing. It is not so simple that you can say that it is one or two. It is one sometimes, it's two sometimes. So when you are experiencing the dream state, this state will come. That this is the best example you can give, that in the dream state, how you have experienced that dream and everything you have gone through in that dream state, all misery, suffering, everything you went through. And at the same time, somebody standing there and observed everything. That's why as soon as you come out of the dream, you can feel that he will tell you what all has happened. Because one chance you may have got killed in that dream with the tiger. But still, the memory hasn't gone, it has all come back in the vacant state again. And that was brought back by him, by Ishvara who stood there, who brought you back that experience from there. So that is why it is said that only in the dream state you have this experience that the jiva is going through its own way. And in the dream state, Ishvara is standing as a witness, witness to everything. So this jiva and jivatma and paramatma, that relationship is what is spoken about jiva a lot. But what is the reason that jiva is trying very hard to come out of this material existence? It cannot make it. It's struggling very hard to come out of this material identity. The reason is that everybody is struggling very hard, but everyone's effort is in different ways. Everybody's effort in different ways. That you can see, even among the animals and the birds, they also want to escape from here. There is a desire in them. It's just not that they also don't enjoy this world to such an extent. Of course, they have the fear of the bodily fears, what every living entity has. They also have it. And they are also feeling the necessity to free themselves from this material existence. But, and the same thing with the human life also. We also feel the need to escape from this miserable state. From this miserable state. But we are trying very hard, but even though you try for this till whole lifetime, this is what is called tapatrayam, isn't it? Adhyatmikam, adibhautikam, adidevikam. You know what that is, isn't it? Adhyatmikam, adibhautikam, adidevikam. That is called tapatrayam. Adhyatmikam, adibhautikam, adidevikam. Adibhautikam means everything that is coming from the world. That is adibhautikam. Everything that is coming from the world. It can be from animals, it can be from earthquakes, it can be from the king or from the government. That's all adibhautikam. Whatever government gives you, suddenly send you a tax bill, pay this much tax. So that's adibhautikam it is. Or whatever you experience through the world outside, from others whom you have connection, relation with. So that's all adibhautikam. Whatever that is created within the body, adhyatmiyam. And whatever that is created inside the mind, like due to the mind, mental problems. What is that? Mental problems is like this lust, anger, greed, and kamam, krotham, lobham, and pride, competition, nature. Problems that's created by the mind. So adhyatmiyam, adibhautiyam, adidevikam, all these things are existing. And mental problems, that's all adidevikam. You can refer it to like that. So these three, tapatrayam they are referred to, we all try to escape from that. We know these problems do exist. But what the problem is, we are looking for a solution inside this misery. While in this misery only we are looking for the solution from the misery. Just like the tiger is already holding on to us. And we are trying to escape. When you are under the jaw of the tiger, you can't escape. He's already caught you. So therefore, we are unable to come out. We get killed by the tiger. Similarly, these three miseries also is already holding us. We are not aware of that. We are thinking it's not there. And we are trying to escape. Already it's there. And we are trying to escape from that. Something like that tiger trying to escape from the tiger's jaw. In the same way. So, our samsaram, and that is why we are not able to escape from that. That's the reason we are finding it difficult to escape from that. So, this transmigration of the jiva from one body to another, one species to another, one planet to another, that is known as the samsaram, material existence. So, unless this samsaram finishes, this transmigration of the soul finishes, it's not going to come to an end. This is why self-realization is important. Wherever we go, whichever planet we go, whichever species we take our body, These three things will always be there till we come back to our pure identity as the soul. Up to that, there is no escape from this. This is the absolute thing about that. So, saying like that, the state of the jiva, it is something to be understood in a much more detailed way, because jiva is the one who is suffering all the time. Krishna is not suffering. We are the one who is suffering all the time. So, what is the main thing here? This ahanda, jiva ahanda, or what is called as abhimanam. So, if you look at that verse, Krishna talked about apara prakriti before, and then he mentioned this one thing, that the gave the examples, like there is a lake, and in that lake there is water, and within the water there is fish, there is frogs, there is snakes, there is lot of leaf plants, everything. And in that, there is a moon also reflecting, isn't it? Moon also reflecting. But moon is reflecting, the difference is that although moon is in the water and everybody inside the water is thinking moon is somebody inside, actually moon is somewhere else. Moon is not in the water. This is the position of the jiva. Jiva's position is like that. Jiva is inside this eight material elements or eight things, apara prakriti. Although we are para prakriti, we are in the apara prakriti, but we are not in the apara prakriti. That's why it's called marginal energy. It's on the marginal state, isn't it? It can go to this side or can go to the other side. You know that. That you'll see Prabhupada mentions that in many places. Marginal energy is called. Either he can move into the spiritual energy or to the material energy. He is in the material energy, but he is in the spiritual energy as well. Just like the moon is in the spiritual energy, but its reflection is in the material energy. And similarly, the soul is with Paramatma, but is in the prakriti. Is in the prakriti. That is that relationship. So, although he is within this field, but he has no connection with the field, and therefore he is called para prakriti. In other words, that he is an outsider, but that is outsider Krishna is talking about here. Apareyam idastanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhudam mahabaho yayedam dharide jagat. That is what Krishna is saying in that. That he is reflecting in this and everybody in this water, the fish, the frogs, the plants and the snakes, all of them who are in the water, they are also seeing the moon. They are thinking of the reflection of the moon and they are thinking he is one among us. But they all know that he is something different than us. All the living entities inside the water, they know that the moon is somewhat different than us. They know that he is one among us, but that he is different. Similarly, in this body also, the gross body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the senses, they are all aware of the presence of jiva inside, but they all know that jiva is different from them. Jiva is different from them. So, this experience, So Krishna says here that this understanding, he is an outsider, jiva is an outsider, but he is inside us, inside everything. And that when he is inside, when he is identifying with that, in the middle of the intelligence, the senses, and the false ego, and the body, and the mind, everything, and he is someone who is inside, that experience is jiva. That is when we become jiva. How do we become jiva? As soon as we feel that we are imprisoned within this, we are in this cage of all these material elements, material nature, prakriti. Because eight things Krishna said, isn't it? Apara prakriti. When we think that we are inside this apara prakriti, then we are jiva. When we have lost this connection, this understanding that I'm not a part of this apara prakriti anymore, then you are realized. The truth. So, self-realization means that freedom from this apara prakriti. And as much as you identify this experience of this apara prakriti, what will happen is it will keep on expanding. Apara prakriti will expand. But if you have touched the para prakriti,
of the soul, soul's identity, and what will happen to him, then he will realize this, that there is no such thing called aparaprakriti. There is no such thing called aparaprakriti. That is what will happen at that stage. When we identify with the soul, jiva, identify that he comes to a platform of self-realization, and he moves away from the aparaprakriti and come to the paraprakriti state, when he finally touches the, like the screen in the film, when he finally touches the screen and he realizes that he is that, not this movie that was going in the screen, he just touches the screen and he realizes that he is paraprakriti. At that point he realizes that there is no aparaprakriti existing. There is no body, there is no mind, there is no intelligence, there is no ego. Nothing exists. So it's a very strange kind of ignorance that has caught us in this way. Very strange kind of ignorance. But when you look at from outside, all these elements, whatever that is there, just like we talked about these frogs or the water, the mud and the moon, everything appears as though it is inside this prakriti. It is inside this prakriti. Therefore, it was mentioned as the aparaprakriti. Aparaprakriti. So, one is immortal, one is mortal. One is full of blemishes, other one is totally free from blemishes. One is full of activities, karma mandalam, and for the other one, there is no karmam in the spiritual stage. One is death, other one is immortal. One is steady, and the other one is always moving. So these two different nature is present in this one body, isn't it? One, these different contradicting things we spoke about, they exist with the material nature and the jiva. Jiva has all the good nature, like it is steady, it is eternal, and it does not involve in any actions, no karmam, nothing, and it has no blemishes. Whereas material nature has got all the opposite ones. It is mortal, and it is also has got blemishes, full of blemishes in material nature, and it is also subjected to death. Material nature, everything in the material nature is subject to death. Basically, what Krishna is saying is sat and asat. Asat is the material nature, sat is the jiva. Jiva is belongs to the sat. So after saying that, Krishna says that's why Lalasa Salaam, I mentioned that prayers also. Chichakti Chedana Rubam Jadavastu Jadalmiya. Sri Parvati's form is mentioned there as Chit Shakti Chedana Rubam. Chedana Rubam means the spiritual nature is Chit Shakti. It's always Chit Shakti. Chedana Rubam. Jada Shakti Jadalmiya. That Jadam, the dead matter, is the nature of Prakriti. Prakriti's nature. So we'll discuss it on Wednesday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.